Excellent. All right, guys, so I thought we would do a topic that does connect a little bit to Purim. After all, Purim is less than a week away. And it's also just an interesting topic in general. So many of you know that the Gemara, a few places, says women should be included in the mitzvah, and he used the following phrase, Sha'af hein hayu botones. Since they were, I guess now it translates, a part of the miracle, therefore they should be included. But what's interesting is the Gemara says this three times. This is an exhaustive study because it says it three times. And in theory, you could have said it more times. I'll give you a few examples. But first, let's get to the three times it does say it. Okay, what are the three times the Gemara says women are obligated because they were part of the miracle? Okay, Yoni Kranz. Wait, none of the three are in Chulin, though. Yeah, go ahead, Yoni. Well, but which mitzvah, though? That's crucial. It's true that Pesach is one of three, but specifically which mitzvah do they say women are included because of? Afein, Ethan Powell, the dark horse Shana Bet candidate. But which mitzvah, though? Nope. No, who knows? Which mitzvah? Yes, there are four cups of wine. The Gemara says women also are included in the mitzvah of four cups of wine because of this principle of I and Matonish. Okay, so that is number one. Okay, what is number two? Yes, Ethan. Yes, which mitzvah and Purim? Yes. Why is it women are chayav in Kriyat HaMegillah and Purim? Because of this principle of Achein Hayu Botones. Okay, so that is number two. And, hey guys, welcome. Where are you guys from?
Maryland.
And what are you doing in Israel?
We're at school.
Oh, it's the Berman trip.
JDS.
JDS school every year?
Yeah.
See, it beats Berman. Berman goes once every 4 years. Oh, but just for seniors, though. It actually ends up being the same. Oh, because you go for 3 months. What are you guys saying? What's your home base?
We're saying Alexander.
Okay. Oh, you're taking classes there also?
No.
Oh, okay. Does the MOS program still exist?
Yes.
No, but it used to be there were actually formal classes in Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
They moved away from that model.
They still have the teachers, like, as their tour guides.
Okay.
But there's other programs on us that are happening, which is GDS.
Okay. That's it. Hoda Sharon, that's the place to be. The happening place of Israel. Okay, Zisha. Yes, and the third one is Hanukkah candles. Okay, so now we've got the exhaustive list. Again, when are women obligated because of this principle? Three times. Again, reading the Megillah on Purim, lighting Hanukkah candles, and what did I say? And Arba Kosov. But here's where things get tricky. In theory, we could have extended this principle much more. Guy, give me, even in our discussion right now, it came up. Give me some other mitzvah where we might have said this principle. Yes? I'm sorry? Okay, that's true. Interesting, but let's leave Shabbat out of it for now. Okay, let's leave Shabbat out of it. Ethan?
What?
But which mitzvah, though? Okay, guys, what's one of the tricky things about Shavuot?
There are no
mitzvah. It's a very interesting topic for another time. How come we have a mitzvah-free holiday? Okay, which is Shavuot. It's a very interesting topic, but not
cheesecake.
Ah, there you go. Okay, why is eating cheesecake as much as we enjoy it? Why is it not a good example?
It's a minhag.
Yeah, guys, it's a minhag. You had a fully, let's say this, from a halachic perspective, your Shavuot is complete without cheesecake. Okay, maybe not true from a Jewish experiential perspective, but from a legal perspective, it is indeed complete. Micah. Excellent. Okay, women are exempt from sukkah. Now again, it's certainly a good thing for women to sit in a sukkah, but they are not obligated. Why don't we just say they were part of the sukkah, sorry, and therefore they should be obligated. Okay, so notice we're not saying it where we could have. We don't obligate women in sukkah based on afein. Okay, by the way, even matzah is a good example. Okay, because women actually are obligated in matzah. Okay, that's why some of you might be confused. You might say, I know there's a principle of pain. I know that women are obligated in matzah. Maybe that's why. Does anyone know the reason the Gemara actually says why women are obligated in matzah? Anyone, what's the Gemara say? Very good. Who was that? Excellent, Isaac. Okay. You guys have a little Maryland pride going there? You know this guy?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Okay. I was just debating if I should make like a Berman JDS joke or not, but I'll let it be. Okay, so I haven't even recorded it, it's not nice. Yeah. Well, you guys all know the answer. If you had Jewish studies more than once a week. Okay. So. Okay. So. In any case, the Gemara says that women are chayv in matzah because matzah is linked with chametz. So anybody who's got the chametz prohibition also has the mitzvah to eat matzah. But the Gemara could have said, in theory, afhein. So we have a dual question. Why is afhein limited in scope? It could be used to be mechayev them where they're putter, like in sukkah. And it could have been used in place of other methods to make them chayev where they're chayev. Right? Instead of saying that matzah is about this connection between chametz and matzah, just say afhein. Okay, good. Are we good? Anyone make a suggestion? Okay. So let's see, first of all, exactly what afhein means. Okay, so let us go to the Tosfot, source 2, the second paragraph. You guys aren't insulted, right? That wasn't such an enthusiastic note. Okay. Maybe that was a mistake. Okay, here we go. Okay, second paragraph of Tosfot. Okay, afhein about Tohanes. Here we go. Everyone see that? Pirish Rashbam, the Rashbam says... By the way, guys, there's a lot of drama going on here. I don't know if you guys realize the drama in Shir, because yesterday I picked up a package for Arya Padua. I schlepped it home and brought it back to Yeshiva today. And if he doesn't come to Shir Kalali, I'm just going to eat it, okay? So let's see what happens, guys. Okay, but nobody text him, because that would cheat, that'd be cheating, okay? Nobody text him. Okay. Okay, here we go. Sha'afin about Tuanes, okay? But now, you guys, if you're bored now, you can have the drama because you keep glancing if iPad was coming. Okay. Pirish Rashbam, she'ikar hanes, what is the miracle? No, sorry, ikar hanes, the essential miracle, haya al yadan, bepurim al yadei Esther, bechanukah that you did, with Pesach, she'beschut sidkan shudu nigalu. That is just great, guys. How did Tosfos shift gears in the Gemara? What is Tosfos arguing? It's not about they were in the same danger. They participate in the story. What does afhein actually mean? They were the story, right? It's about women being the heroines of the story. And then he wants to claim you could do that in all three. Now, let's see. Now, obviously, Purim is the easiest. One does not have to do any stretching to make Esther the heroine of the story. Okay, when it comes to Chanukah, what we have to do? There is a legend about a woman named Yehudit who killed the Greek-Syrian general. You probably all heard it. Yeah. So you could throw that in and have women being heroic. Okay, and... what about Pesach? So there is an idea that the righteous women are what got us through Mitzrayim. Now here, be careful, guys, because you could all say that's drash and upshot. But I would like to point out in the first chapter, or the first two chapters of Shemot, I think I pointed this out to somebody before Moshe comes along, who are all the heroes?
Women.
They're all women, right? Give me a brief list of who all the heroic people are in the first two chapters. Miriam and Yocheved, Shifra and Pua. Yeah. And you left out one good one? And the daughter of Paro, right? So all the heroic people are female. So I think the Gemara, when Chazal said it was the Hashim Tzidkaniyot, it wasn't some like arbitrary thing. It was really a close reading of Chumash. Wait, but let's think, guys. This could be quite striking. If we say afhein doesn't mean they were part of the story, it means they were the story, which of our previous questions would fall away? Very good. Who said that? Excellent, Jake Weinberg. Wouldn't the Sukkot question fall away? Because again, Sukkot doesn't really have individual heroes. It's hard to say, like, who's the hero of the Sukkot story? So maybe there we'd say, afhein is only when women are at the forefront of the story. In Sukkot, kind of nobody's at the forefront of the story. So therefore, afhein would not apply to Sukkot. Although, Jake is right, you probably still have the question about matzah. Because if we say afhein for Dalav Koso, why couldn't we say afhein for matzah? Okay, ready, guys? We got one point on the board, though. If we shift afhein to the Rashbam's interpretation, we do have a limiting factor. Okay, Mati.
What was the danger of matzah, like, it saves us from?
In Sukkot? Or in what?
No, matzah, there's no danger that I would say.
You'd see a Mitzrayim wasn't dangerous?
No, it was. That's four cups before. Matzah is just we didn't have time to bake bread. It's not really much danger.
No, but I don't think it has to be that the specific ritual is about danger. It's that the ritual is commemorating an event that had danger.
But I'm saying that the event that matzah commemorates, was it a dangerous event?
It's all part of one story, I think, no? Yeah, Avery.
Well,
Okay, Noah.
Isn't it strange that we have to make like a distinction for like women and men when it comes to the obligation of these certain mitzvahs? It just seems like kind of arbitrary.
Okay, so let's go to 5 to see why it's not arbitrary. Okay, go to source 5 for a second, guys. She'afenu bo to'anis, says Tosfot, v'ilav hainu tam. Let's say I wouldn't have that reason. Lo yuchebo mishim dinashim to'a mitzvah asei shizman grama. So what does he want to claim, basically? That the Zman Grama principle is not only for biblical mitzvot, but for rabbinic mitzvot as well. So we do this idea that women are not obligated in time-bound, positive mitzvot, but I point out to many of you in the past that there are almost as many exceptions to that as cases actually fit that. Okay, and many, many mitzvot asei Zman Grama women are chayav, such as Kiddush Friday night. So a whole bunch of mitzvot women are chayav in, but there is such a principle that's at work here. Yeah, Izzy.
Doesn't the Gemara claim to say like an answer for why they're not chayav in sukkah and also from matzah? Like, doesn't the Gemara sukkah compare matzah to the sukkah?
Ah, we'll get there in a minute. Very good. That was very good. We have our Italian scholar. Okay, since the Sforno, Italy has not produced such a scholar. Okay, here we go. 500 years. Actually, 600 years. Okay, so let us see. What? I was just joking, Quincy. It's true. It is not historically accurate what I said. Okay, how's that? We will now get that on recording. Okay, it is not true that Izzy is the greatest scholar since this one. Okay. So, again, so in theory, we have an answer to the Sukkot question, but do not have an answer to the Pesach question. Okay. So let's now go to... you see the Tosfos again we were in, the second paragraph? It says, Gabei Matzah. You haven't asked that?
Yeah.
So now let's go to matzah. Okay, again, I'm in source 2, the second paragraph, line 5. Gabei matzah, yesh maksha. Some ask, lamali hekesha. Why do I need this hekesh? To call sheyeshnu babal tochel chametz, yeshnu b'kumachol matzah. That this is parallelism. If you're in the chametz world, you're also in the matzah world. Why do I need that parallel? Okay, but here we go. Typically, mitam shafin b'tonais, right? That was our question, right? Skip the matzah chametz thing, just say, afin. Look at the two answers, they're very different. V'yesh lomar, dimishum hai tama, lo mechaiva ela midrabanan. Ilav mehekesha. What is Tosfos' first answer? Afin is a great principle, but it only functions on a rabbinic level. And when I make the hekesh between matzah and chametz, what am I able to do? I'm able to say women are chayav on a biblical level, okay? So if we assume afhein is just a rabbinic move, then we can always understand why you want an alternative. What does the alternative do? Maybe the alternative makes women even chayev biblically. Now that is crucial because if women are biblically chayev, what would then follow? Not only that their chiv is more serious, but they could do it for a man, as long as women and men have the same chiv, right? If a woman makes kiddush for you, you're yotzei. Because they're not only chayav because of afhein, which might be on a lower level, they're chayav because of some other principle. And that other principle might work doraita. Because that is the first answer. Let's go to the second answer. Okay, give me 1 second, guys. Leish, what is distracting you over there? The Ben Leish Chai, what's going on?
I'm very tired, sir.
All right, very honest answer. Binyamin, what's distracting you? What? What are you checking out on the internet over there? It's not bad. Not bad looking, losing to a book of geopolitics. Not bad. Could have been worse. Could have been like Candy Crush or something like that. Okay. Okay. Okay, excellent. Okay, so we got the first answer. Okay, now let's move on to the second answer. Okay, here we go. V'yesh lomar. I lost it. Here we go. I always like it when Tosu quotes these obscure Bali Tosu. I have to admit, I should look it up who they are. I have no idea. I'm sure Quincy's already looking it up. Rabbi Yosef Ish Yushalayim. How do you like that, guys? Oh, there's a good rule for life. Very good rule if you're going to be a scholar. What do you know, what can you derive about where Jews lived if somebody's called Rabbi Yosef Ish Yushalayim? What can you derive? No. How common was it for Jews to live in Yushalayim? Ever got that, right? No one is ever going to call a Jew today, he is Yosef Ish Tinek, right? Because everybody lives in Tinek, right? But you might say he is Yosef Ish Calgary, because nobody lives in Calgary, right? Okay, so at that point, it makes sense. So if someone's called to be Yosef Ish Yushalayim, obviously not so many rabbis were living in Jerusalem. Okay, you agree it's a good rule for a historian? Okay.
All
right, that doesn't disprove what I said. Well, if he traveled there in his later years, that means at that point he lived there, right? Wait.
Why would he?
Quincy, I think you'd be a little stubborn. I don't think someone went on a holiday would be called, unless it was a particularly meaningful holiday, right? Quincy, what's the most interesting holiday you've been at? Let's hear. I know your parents are right here, but very good. No one's going to say Quincy Barrett, East South Africa, right? You are going to be East Manchester for a lifetime.
Maybe in the Middle Ages.
Wow, Quincy just won't give in. Amazing. You say, since travel was less common then, they named you after your travel plans. Oh my God. All right, Quincy, I give up.
Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't exactly live in Nazareth for his life.
But he's also associated with Bethlehem.
Yeah, exactly, because that's like his later life.
Okay. But he didn't go to Nazareth like on a 4-day vacation.
It's true, yeah.
It would have been great because he could have seen like all the famous Christian sites. Okay. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, wait,
it is Chris Quincy, I just realized.
It wasn't born in Nazareth. Okay, next. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Yishlaim T-Rates. Okay, did Salka Daitach, something I would have thought, Lemifzera Migzera Shava. Izzy, this is you. Did Tedvav Tedvav Techaka Sukkot. Now, this changes everything, because what's Rabbi Yosef Yishlaim saying, guys? That if I didn't have the Gzera Shava, in theory, Afhain could have worked, but Afhain was being challenged. What was challenging Afhain? We know that there's a halakhic parallel between Pesach and Sukkot. So if women are exempt from Sukkah, what might I have done? I might have said, well, if they're exempt from Sukkah, they're from Pesach. Therefore, I needed another drasha. But notice the huge difference, guys, if you're a clear thinker. What is the first answer to assuming? What power does Afhain have? Only rabbinic. Therefore, a hekesh is much better. A hekesh would be mechayev women d'oraita. What is the second answer, actually, assuming most people would realize this position exists? Was it Rabbi Yosef Ish Yerushalayim assuming that it could work on a d'oraita level? It's just that something else might have confused us. The sukkah's pal might have confused us. Therefore, we brought it to play the chametz matzah drasha. But the second one seems to assume that Afhain can work on a d'oraita. Okay, just to sum up, I'll take comments, guys. We've made a lot of progress. We had Afhain. We're wondering why it's not applied beyond the three cases where it is applied. We now have a number of approaches. Regarding Sukkah, everything will work if we go with the Rashbam. Because then what does the Rashbam say? It's not about women being part of the story. It's about women being the story, which apparently is not true in Sukkot. That would not help vis-a-vis the matzah example. Now we have two answers in matzah. Answer one, Afhain only works rabbinically, and we wanted a biblical chiyuv. Answer two, Afhain could have worked, but we had the threat from Sukkah. Okay, Mati.
I've got an argument against the Chometz extension working biblically, which is that then there'd be no reason to give the Matzah commandment in the first place for men. Because they would also be included in the Chometz extension.
Yeah.
No, but if we didn't have the Matzah for men, how would we know that there is such a mitzvah?
As in, but I'm saying it would work the same way. We're assuming that like Matzah is this like, fundamental facet of having no Chometz, then you could just give that one commandment.
Okay, when I'm saying two things are linked, that doesn't mean I don't have to mention both. If I don't mention the second one, how will I know it exists?
As in, you could have like a
let's say the Torah only said, don't eat chametz.
Yeah, but you could have an
oral would have, most would not have thought, the implication is there's a mitzvah to eat matzah.
No, but you can have an oral tradition still.
Okay, but why should we prefer oral traditions to the pasuk?
I'm not saying we should, I'm just saying that there's a specific command given to
that. Yeah, I'm not sure why that's a problem though.
Well, then it seems weird to also say that chametz refers to matzah as well, if there's specific.
We're saying that they are linked, meaning they're two different mitzvot. Don't think of them as independent players, think of them as being inherently linked. Yeah. Okay, just realize one thing. No, this might be comment number three. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
We've been doing this rule like so. Whatever.
It's true, I'm not consistent about it, it's true. Okay.
I'm fine with that. But I think there's a much simpler answer here, which is just like, when you have meals in those days, they were obviously having a lot of bread, and like, so matzah basically just means having a meal during Pesach.
Okay, but again, guys, let's clarify one thing. This is an important point. Michael Riskin, you're looking very alert and witty today. It's good. How's it going?
Doing well.
You like the topic?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, excellent. Leash. The guy right in front of you is like eight times as alert as you are. Just watch him a little bit, okay? You'll get into it. Okay? Okay. All right, here we go, guys. Okay, so I want to clarify one thing, guys. There's a difference between a mitzvah to eat matzah and kind of eating matzah by default. Okay, we all experience this every Pesach. So I'll get to in a minute. When is there an actual mitzvah to eat matzah? Seder night, right? But short of Seder night, what is there? According to most poskim, no mitzvah whatsoever. Why might you eat matzah? Well, by default, there's not much. Right? You want to have matzah pizza, so that's why you eat matzah. Right? So you end up eating it. Right?
Right?
I'll tell you where this comes into play. I think the English here will not relate to this, but all the New Yorkers will relate to this. Okay. I'm not sure. You'll tell us if people from Atlanta or St. Louis relate to this also. Okay. On Chol Hamoed Pesach, Jews are off. There's no reason in the world why non-Jews should be off those days. So it always happens that you go to a Mets game or a Yankees game, right? And you could, if you listen closely, you could hear the crunch of matzah in the stands, right? Has anyone else had this experience besides me? Okay, is that true in LA?
No, I've never.
You gotta go. You gotta go to a Dodgers game and see what happens. Okay, Toronto, does that happen?
Nobody does in Miami.
You go to Miami for Pesach? I wonder if Miami's even more than New York. That'd be interesting. That'd be an interesting experiment. Go to a Marlins game in Chol Hamoed. All right, does that happen? Right, it's really hilarious, right? You look around and like, my God, the Jewish people are dominated American sports. Right, here we are. Okay, so, but let's say, for the sake of argument, nobody in the stands wanted matzah today. Let's say they hated matzah. They would not be religiously derelict, right? Because you can't eat chametz, but you're not obligated to eat matzah. So again, guys, the key thing here is the matzah obligation. Right? It's true, by default, once we prohibit chametz, people are probably going to eat more matzah. But here we're claiming there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the Seder night, and that mitzvah is inherently linked with the chametz prohibition. And therefore, since women have the chametz prohibition, they also have the chiyuv to eat matzah. Wait, Monty, what comment is this?
This might be number 3.
I think it might be number 4.
No, it's definitely number 3.
Fine, go ahead.
It says in the concept that matzah should be eaten throughout the 7-day period.
That is a great question. Okay, so Mati is right. Oh, very good. Are you a Balkor?
No, this is part of my mitzvah lady.
Ah, okay. Good to you. That's pretty knowledgeable. Not bad. Even though he's from England. Amazing. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so, one second, guys. Let me just clarify one thing, because something important just happened. Mati's right. The simplest reading of the pasuk is actually not the halakha. Because the pasuk says something like Shivat Yamei Matzot Tocheu, or Matzot Tocheu Shivat Yamei, whatever the pasuk goes. So I admit, the simplest reading is that it's a mitzvah, but that's not the way we interpret it in Chazal. But there is an idea, maybe some of you heard this, the number of our Rishonim and Achronim who think, what's the status of eating matzah after Seder night? It's what's called a mitzvah kiyumit and not a mitzvah chiyuvit. We had that once in Chicago, right? This year, right? What would that mean, guys? It's not an obligation, but it's still a mitzvah. It is still considered religiously valuable. So that might be an easier way to read that pasuk, right? Why does it say you should eat matzah for 7 days? Not that you're obligated to eat matzah, but at least it has mitzvah status for 7 days. There is such an idea, guys. And at that point, all those people in the stands at the Marlins Stadium are fulfilling the mitzvah. Okay, they might not have been obligated to do so, but it's a mitzvah. Guys, I bet, correct me if I'm wrong, I assume that does not happen if Manchester United has a game in Chol Hamoed. See? Oh, you guys like Manchester City, I'm sorry. But I assume it doesn't happen at a Manchester City match also.
Just like the winning.
Wait, I've got a good reference now. Maybe it happens when Tottenham plays. Guys, if you're American, if you got the reference, you get extra points there. Yeah, okay.
I don't eat grass, so I don't really know what matzah pizza means. But if you eat matzah pizza, do you still like have that? Do you still get the mitzvah?
If you all like those positions. Yeah, you're saying the fact that you covered it with other things or baked it doesn't change that.
It doesn't change that.
Okay, that was the, everyone catch what Kobe's question was? Okay, but I just want to point out also, and this came up once before, but because Yeshiva has so many Chabadniks this year, so Chabad has all, I'm just doing a survey again because I'm curious, but give me a second, guys. Right, just so you all know what this means, there's a chumra Chabad has called not eating gebrakst. For whatever reason, Chabad is extremely nervous that your matzah will ferment and turn into chametz. So they don't want matzah to come to any contact with liquid. Okay, so they will only pretty much have plain matzah, correct? Okay, no spreads or think about it, it's like a
cream cheese is fine.
Cream cheese is fine?
No, that's a. I don't know about that.
See, guys, we're gonna do a survey in a second. We'll see who the modern Orthodox Chabadniks are and the Chariot Chabadniks. We're gonna find out in a minute. Okay, here we go. Okay, so Kobe doesn't experience this because they don't have any gebruchs, but he was wondering. right? Would that change the mitzvah because there's a topping, because it's baked into something? It was an interesting question. I think it would still be a mitzvah. Okay, we're going to do a quick survey of our chabadics now. Very exciting. What is the Fishman protocol?
For not your bros.
Thanks for coming. You enjoyed yourself?
Yeah.
You don't have no resentment, right?
No.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, good.
Three cheese is fine. Mott's brass we made with milk, not water, no mott's.
Oh my god, you guys are really liberal. Okay, you know what happens to the Pitachi house? No, but what about does any spread ever touch the matzah?
Yes, but like no, we can't be using
the matzah,
like the square matzah.
Yeah, only
smart. No, but that's a separate question, right? That's not about Kabrux. Why? No, but I imagine it's a different issue. It's not the same fear, right? Wait, but in your house, you do put cream cheese on the matzah.
Yeah.
Do you make matzah pizza?
No.
No matzah pizza.
No matzah pizza? Okay, so you and the fishermen are in the same camp here.
Oh,
no, that's fair. I didn't say it was ridiculous. I'm just curious. Wait, Leish, you have a Chabad connection? Why are you raising your hand?
Oh, is that? No, I just
No, we're just discussing Chabadics right now. Where's Danny Sachs? Danny Sachs? Okay. Kobe?
You can't put like fresh mozzarella because it's like in that brine is absolute no-go. Cream cheese is like absolutely not. You can do like string cheese if it's like there's no liquid at all.
Okay, there you go. Now we know who the authentic Chabadics are here, guys. Really, we need Tartarka right now. Where is he? Okay. Okay, so the Goldblatt's, what, I'm sorry? whose parents are Chabad? Wait, guys, what's the Australia-Israel time difference? Anyone know?
No, I think it's...
What time is it now in Australia?
Should I call him?
I don't care, I'm texting.
Okay, so text Tartarka. Tell them we're the middle of Shirpoli. Tell them we're the middle of Shirpoli, and we need to know what their practices are with cream cheese and stuff on matzo, okay? What? Wait, you have a Chabad connection too? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, we have two more guys there. Okay, Noah Birnbaum.
So my dad was like, oh yeah, we can have cream cheese. And then when we asked my grandfather 1 year, he's like, you can't have cream cheese. And so
that's it? Wow, never should have asked that question. But you're as serious as the Goldblatts. What about string cheese?
String cheese we can do. String cheese.
And mozzarella?
I'm sure if it's wet, like, no.
Okay, last one. Who was the last Chabadic? Ah, Noah Milter. Oh my god. What makes you Chabad? Okay, there we go. See, Caleb Fishman, you are not the most liberal version of Chabad. Okay, we have now found him. It is Noah Milter. Okay, Leish. Yes, you can make a non Chabad comment now, Leish.
As always, they're all in 10 pieces per matzo.
Wait. Okay, at least it's an interesting brand question. Is it really related to the topic of this year?
Yeah.
Why?
What's the
best? I mean, what happens? What happens if I come home and my shmur matzo is broken? Why is that connected to our topic? Ah. Okay, so I see what you're saying, but Leish, I think you're correct about halachic value, but it's not halachic value that's relevant to our topic. Okay, there is an idea that for lech mishnah, what do you want? You want something that is shalem. Right, in fact, actually, we'll do a little tangent, because this is a really interesting tangent. Okay, usually you want something that is shalem. But being shalem usually doesn't impact whether you did the mitzvah or not. Right, guys, let's say on Pesach night, I eat a kazayin of matzah that didn't come from a matzah that was shlemah. You think I'm yotzi or not? Of course, right? There was no mitzvah to eat a kazayin from a full matzah. There was a mitzvah to eat a kazayin. The fullness is to fulfill some other mandate, which is the mandate of Lech HaMishnah. But now we're going to find out, oh, this is great, guys. Now we did a Chabad survey, we're going to do a Gross survey. We're going to see who is on the other side of the ideological divide. Okay, here we go, guys. This is really interesting. How many matzot are on the plate usually when the meal starts for most of you?
Three.
Why do we want three when it's two all year round?
Because
we break one of them, but then we won't have two shlemo for our lech mishnah, right? So since we want a broken matzah, that's one value, but we also want lech mishnah, so we end up with three matzot on the plate. There we go. So far, guys? Okay, now this is really interesting. The Grah thought you should only have two matzah. Probably nobody does. Is there anybody whose family does that? I imagine nobody, actually.
I feel like I've seen that.
Okay, you have seen it? Interesting. I don't think I've ever seen it. The Grah thought you should only have two matzah. So what's the Grah's argument? I actually like the idea very much. He says, once we like that theme of the broken matzah, maybe we should even have the broken matzah theme integrate and impact on the Lechem Mishnah theme. Someone's like, what is the appropriate Lechem Mishnah of Pesach, right? One in which one of the two is broken. So see what has happened now? The general shita is, oh, we have these two different values. We have the broken matzah theme and the Lechem Mishnah theme. Therefore, everyone needs three matzahs. Where the Grah thought maybe one theme impacts on the other, and really only have two matzah, one of which is broken. Okay, we now have concluded it based on a pretty decent sample size that Chabad is more influential in a writer than the Grah. Okay, yeah, so.
I'm kind of confused by the second answer to Tosas that the run and the right thing.
Again, the first answer said, we have two ways to get women chayv and matzah. What are the two ways? The hekesh to chametz or afhe. What did the Gemara pick? The hekesh. Why was the hekesh better than afhe? What would the first answer in Tosas would say? Afhe would only work rabbinically, the Hekesh works Toraita. That's why the Hekesh wins.
Wait, so what's the Hekesh?
The Hekesh is that the Torah juxtaposed matzah and chametz. So anybody who's obligated in chametz is obligated in matzah. Wait, Johnny, don't go. The whole shiur is going to be about food. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Why are women obligated in chametz?
What?
Why are
women obligated in chametz?
Yeah.
Wait. So stop and think for a second. You tell me why women are obligated in chametz. No. Because guys, help them out. Chametz is a prohibition. Women are included in all prohibitions.
Yeah, but
Zman Gram is irrelevant when it comes to prohibitions. Remember, the rule is not mitzvah Zman Gram. The rule is mitzvah aseish Zman Gram. Okay, so that's the first answer. We picked the hekesh because hekesh works deraita. Second answer, afhein could have worked deraita too. But we were lurking there was this sukkah parallel that might have overcome that. So we needed to combat the sukkah parallel. So we came up with a hekesh to overcome the sukkah parallel. But if that's true, afhein really could have worked the right time. Okay? Everybody good? Okay. Yeah, Yoni.
So with the answer to the Mishnah about like a woman not being part, or they were like the Ikar of the story, right? That's why it works
For Sukkot.
For Sukkot. Like, I understand, like, it works, but, like, what about the language of
Tukkot? Terrific. Yoni Saltzman is a future Talmud star. Okay, now, even though those of us with some feminist leanings might really like the Rashbam, because what does the Rashbam do? Women weren't just part of the story, but they were the story. We're very excited. So, but we should be intellectually honest, even if we're excited. Is that really the simplest reading of the Gemara? Very good, Yoni. So let us go back to source number two. Okay? And we'll go to the part I skipped. Okay? So what did he say in the first two lines? That women are the story. Now look at the end of the second line. V'kasha. This is difficult. D'loshon sha'af hein mashma shehein tfeilot. Guys, if I say they were also, what does it sound like I'm saying? They're part of the story. They come in and join the team. But not that they are the story. So Yoni Saltzman, Tosos is on your team. Tosos ultimately does not like the Rashbam because he thinks that doesn't read so well into the words of the Gemara. Like, again, afe means women are included, but it doesn't really highlight women as the main players of the story. So obviously Tosos can't use the answer we tried for Sukkah because Tosos would not think it's true. Phil, this is going to be a contrarian point.
Actually not.
Okay, good.
The dark force
Chabad. Oh, you have Chabad conscience?
My stepdad is like hardcore.
I'm sorry, I did not know that. You are a dark force.
You Tom Tfillin, he's so hardcore.
That is pretty hardcore. What do you guys do on Pesach?
So, he doesn't
do props.
Chabad
is
like
Chabad
for Borough Park, and he will not do props. at all, except for my grandmother's chicken soup with tomato on last days.
Oh, that's good.
Right. Everyone does last
days. You guys all eating it on the last day?
Yeah.
All of you? Even the GoBots?
The last day.
Wait, not night?
The last day.
The eighth day of Pesach.
The eighth day.
But including night and day, right?
Yeah.
We have a
so Rebbe like put like matzah in his wine or something, then ate it. So now we eat it the last day.
Well, wait, guys. What would be the easier besides the Rebbe putting his wine? The easy reason to explain it: the eighth day is forbidden, right? So could we say, well, we're going to be stringent when it's biblical, but we'll be lenient when it's forbidden? I assume that's the real explanation. Okay, see, guys, that's why Chabad is just this fun universe, right? You don't need books for 7 days. You break out on the eighth day with your matzah pizza. It is just an exciting world. Exciting world to go Chabad. Okay, there we go. Okay, Phil, good factory, but you don't know. Phil, you're the underrated Chabadist. I have one question, Phil. Has your stepdad's Chabadist had any impact whatsoever on your Jewish practice?
I realize that I really like the way that
Chabadniks
do Shema Yisrael and Kiddush on Shabbos.
Is that a tune or a chant? What do they do?
They do like a chant, but it's in a tune and they get up and everybody starts.
Really?
Dancing. It's very, very.
And during chakras.
During chakras.
I did not know that. Wait, you guys do it, Kill?
Yeah.
And they all start clapping.
Yeah. Do it.
Oh, no, wait. You mean Kiddush? We all know it, guys. We all know it. I thought he meant Shema, like Shma. I didn't mean Kedusha, everyone uses that tune.
Yeah.
But it's always a tricky thing, though, guys, because the tune was made, this is where I think life gets interesting. The tune was made for the amount of words that are in Nusach Sfarad. So then when those of us are done, Ashka is trying to use the tune, gotta force the words into the. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, that is a really good tune. That is a good contribution to Kabbalah.
I would say it's the overall atmosphere of
Davening.
Like, you don't get that much
laughing in an Ashkenaz. Okay, very interesting. All right, guys, let us turn the page and see two more things here. Let us turn the page. Okay, now till now, we've been assuming that, let's go to the Rashbam versus Tosfos. We've been assuming that if I hold like the Rashbam, I have a huge expansion. Sorry, a huge limitation. It's only when women are the main story. If I hold like Tosfos, the women are part of the story, obviously that is going to be a much larger category, right? That's been the assumption the entire time, correct, guys? Now things get exciting, because that assumption is about to be challenged. Okay, now, I always say this, guys, the Sfas Emes was the Gera Rebbe. People get very excited about his parish on the Torah. I think his real greatness is his parish on Gemara. Okay, as some of you know, I boycott the Hasidus sale every year because they don't sell the Sfas Emes on Shas. It has not had much impact, but I'm still boycotting. Okay, so let's see what we have here in the Sfas Emes in Megillah, guys. It's an amazing reversal. Look at this amazing reversal. She'afenu botones, pirish Rashbam, shal dei ha'nashim nasa anes. Again, what does Rashbam say? Women are the source of the heroism. The ain yodei lam yein beperish ha'pashut. Oh, Yoni Saltzman, this is for you. Why did he go away from... Don't we all agree that Tosfos reading is much simpler in the phrase Avin Batonais? So why didn't he go with the Tosfos? Ach, Masha Katovkin Bipsachem, Efshar Lomar, Disfirle is amazing, this Kiddush, guys. I was so excited first time I saw it. Da Shibud Bimitzrayim Hayarak Al Anashim. Okay, where's he going, guys? Which way is he, the Sfas Emes going? That even if I go, if I go with the Tosfos, what happens actually? That's what excludes women. Right? Where does the trend is argue? If I go with Rashbam, women are included. What does he claim? In a certain sense, women were not in the Pesach story. Because what could one argue? They weren't in danger. Okay, he says they were not enslaved. Look what he says now. Where else do you see this in the Pesach story? Well, at one point, what is one of the evil decrees? All the male babies get thrown into the Nile. So he says, maybe there's a theme running through the Pesach story that the men are in danger, but the women are not. Now again, I'm not saying he's right for sure. I really don't want to quibble this. What I like about it is you end up with this kind of dramatic reversal. Like till now we've been thinking that, oh, if I go with Rashbam, I am much more limited than if I go with Rashbam. The Sfas Emes shows up and says, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you could have a story where women were heroic, but they actually weren't in the same danger. And therefore, since, says the Sfas Emes, since the Rashbam wants to include women, That's why he actually goes with his approach and not with the toasted approach. Okay, any comments on that? We're good? But that is a very nice chiddush of the Sves Emes. Okay, let us do at least one more thing. Let us go to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay, Akiva Eiger on the bottom of source 8. Okay, by the way, it is not looking too good for Arya Padua. He's got like 7 minutes to go. Okay, I'm going to be enjoying that biscotti. Okay. Okay, here we go. Just, I'm sorry, fellow from Calgary, what's your first name? Kedem. And where do you go to high school?
Oh.
Okay, good. Is there elementary school through 8th grade? Through, I'm sorry?
Through 9th grade.
Through 9th grade, okay, great. How's the Calgary public school system?
It's okay.
Okay. All right, here we go, guys. What's your last name?
Siegel.
Oh, your brother went to Gush, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here we go, guys. Let's see. Okay, let us see what we have here in Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Okay, everyone got it? Tosfos Diumat L'Shaf. V'Shulchan Aruch Chaim Simtar said, hey. Okay, now things get even worse, guys, for Purim. We said it's a no-brainer. Women have to hear the Megillah. Okay, Mikra Megillah, women are included. It's one of the three examples of Afein Hayu Botoanes. Okay, here we go. What about the other mitzvah of Purim? You ever think about that? Are women chayven matanot levyonim? Are women chayven mishloach menot? So look what he says here. The isha chayevet b'matanot levyonim u'mishloach menot. Okay, so here he quotes halacha psak. They are obligated. Ayin pichadish tekatav to ish k'tiv lo isha le'nias daiti. So again, well, should afhein be playing a role here, or should afhein not be playing a role? So wait, afhein, where do we see it? It did obligate women in Mikra Megillah, but here, even if I say the first answer of Tosfot, I should still include women, right? Because what if we say afhein only works on a rabbinic level? That's fine, because in the Purim context, every mitzvah is rabbinic. Right? See, there's no like, oh, you could have had the Purim Doraita. So in theory, it actually is a no-brainer. Just like we apply afhein to Mikra Megillah, we should apply afhein to, right, to all the mitzvah. But look what he says. I was more interested in the category he creates. It's a very interesting category. Okay, so skip down to, please, Ubaturi Evan. Okay, Turi Evan is the same author as the Shaget Arya of Arya Ginsburg. He has a lot of interesting ideas. I'm at the end of the third line. Uvaturi Evan Katab, Diyesh Lomar, Dilinyan Megillah de Este Beruach HaKedesh Nemra, Havi Kamu Doraita. This is very fascinating, guys. What does he want to claim? There's something Doraita-like about the mitzvah to read the Megillah. Okay, now notice, he would never say this about Hanukkah. Why would he never say this about Hanukkah? Because Hanukkah does not have any expression in Tanakh. So this is always an interesting question, guys. Even though we say, here's where I think things get interesting. Even though we say the things that appear in Nevi'im and Ketuvim are not Doraita, but does the fact that they appear in Tanakh somewhere give them different status than a regular Drabanah? See what I just asked? You could say all of life divides into Doraita versus Drabanah. There's nothing else. There's no, it's a binary split. There's nothing in between. And therefore, even if you're in Tanakh, even if you're in Nach, we don't care. You are simply just as Derabanan, as Muksa, as Ner Shabbos. Or you say, no, if you appear in sacred scripture, that gives you extra status. You are somehow almost like in between Doraita and Derabanan. So what would emerge if the Turi Evan's right? If the Turi Evan's right, maybe Afhain will obligate women, but maybe not on the same level as men, because maybe even if men are not Doraita, where might men end up? In this middle category set of things that appear in Nach. Remember what I just said? Like maybe even regarding, now I mentioned you once, there's a machloket in Mikra Megillah. Everyone says women are obligated. There's a machloket if women can read for themselves or they can even read for men. Right? So it might depend on this issue. Right? We're including women for sure, afein b'tohanes, but are we including them on the same level as men? However, I do think there's one drawback to this Trevin, which I'll mention in a second. It could be Micah's already about to ask it. Micah.
I'm inclined to believe the opposite when with the Chanukia example, because I feel like it's far more easy to make that parallel between Chanukia and the menorah than, like, you know, like the fact that the Megillah is into.
You're saying because there it's easy to draw buttons patterned after the writer.
I'm saying because, like, the menorah and Chanukia are virtually the same thing.
Isn't that what I just said, or no? That the menorah is The Chanukiah is patterned after the menorah in the Mikdash. Is that the point?
Yes.
So right? So I'm saying there, this decision is rebut. That's what you're arguing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else with a comment on this? Yeah.
I'm just going to give an example, which is the thing about like Torah not leaving your mouth, like sweating day and night is from Yeshua. So it's kind of like this little passage.
Say it again. The
there's like a famous thing about how like you should toil with Torah like day and night.
Yes, Vigito Yom Vilayla.
And it's from Yeshua, it's not from...
Correct, correct. So I would like to make one more suggestion here. Okay, before I'd like to check out one last thing. You're also from JDS, right?
Yeah.
How come you were able to stay longer than your buddies?
Because the other buddies have to tour their yeshivas.
Ah, okay.
But I'm only touring two.
Okay, great. I was about to say because you're the most serious of all them, but maybe that's still true. You know what? We get beyond appearances, okay? We think you're still very serious. What's your name of it?
I'm Matan.
Matan?
Silverberg, yeah.
Okay, great. You live in Silver Spring?
I live near Silver Spring.
Where?
Park.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, in D.C.
Okay, terrific. Yeah. Excellent. Well, we're glad you stayed, whatever the reason was.
Thank you.
Okay, Chuck.
If the opening was by the other mitzvah, the opening is limited to the same level, then why would it be
different? No, but what if we say, according to Evan, let's say we ignore Micah for a second. On Hanukkah, what's the highest level chi of the man could have? Derabbanan. So if Afein only works on a Derabbanan plane, that's not a problem because women and men are in the same plane. Right? But if there's an idea that there's this middle ground, right, then maybe Afein can't get you the middle ground. You get that? Okay, but here is one thing I wanted to say though, guys, which is... Okay, sorry. Maybe I misunderstood. Let me look at this for 1 second. Ah, I see where he's going, but I would go a little bit different way. That might be reason to say women can't be motzi men. But is that reason to differentiate between Megillah versus Mishloach Manot and Matanot Levirnim? Is there reason to differentiate there or not reason to differentiate?
Well, yes. Because you said that it's a little bit of a Kodesh, and it's also like...
Okay, but... Okay, here's the key thing, guys. From where do we know that there's a mitzvah on Purim to give Mishloach Manot and to give gifts to the poor? It says that in the Megillah also. So I would argue, if things that are derived from Nach have this middle status, so guess what? Not only Mikra Megillah should have this middle status, but so too Mishloach Manot and Matanot Levirnim. So again, guys, I was actually less interested in this in terms of the women's issue and more interested in introducing this third category into your like halachic toolbox to realize that some people might think that if you're in Nach, you're actually a middle category. You're lesser than a Daraita, but more than a Darbanan. Caleb, there are 2 minutes left and I've not yet mentioned our favorite website. Yeah, go ahead, Caleb.
Why do we necessarily care so much about the middle category if we use Afein for the Arbakosa, which would be a story that comes from actual Torah?
Ah, very good. So I would say it's not a question of whether... Oh, that's interesting, actually. Because you're going to catch me in a second, but I'm going to answer it anyway. Maybe it's not a question whether the story appears in Tanakh, it's whether the mitzvah appears in Tanakh. So Arbakosa, guys, does Arbakosa appear in Tanakh anywhere? No. Where is it derived from? There's an idea of like the four languages of redemption, right? Votseti, Vitzal, Vlad. So there I would say, even though it's based on a biblical story, it is not mentioned in Tanakh. Okay, brief summary and then we're done. Yeah, Quincy.
I was just going to say, once you start discussing all of the mitzvah of Purim that are derived from the end of Megillah, you then have a distinction of maybe after him or Kabbalah, reading the Megillah is more associated with the story. The other ones are just like saying, oh, these are palms of celebrating.
Okay, very good. I don't have time for it, but if you look at the Nitziv in number 3, it's very similar to what you said. Okay, very brief review, guys. Here we go. Afein is, everyone should know this to be an knowledgeable Jew. Afein is said in the Talmud Bavli 3 times, right, to make women obligated in. Chanukah candles, Megillah on Purim, and Arba Kosot. Why is it not used to make them Chayiv in Sukkot? And why is it not used to make them Chayiv in Matzah, even though they are Chayiv in Matzah on a different grounds? So for Sukkot, we said the Rashbam would be great. Because what does the Rashbam assume? It's not enough they're part of the story, they have to be the story. Although Yoni Saltzman and Tosafot don't like that because the language of Afein doesn't sound that way. Although it should be pointed out, we had a Sfas Emes with an amazing reversal. Okay, what's the minute? We would all think that Tosu is going to include more women than Rashbam. He says Pesach the opposite. He says on Pesach they were saviors, but they weren't in the same danger. So he thinks Afein would not work naturally for Matzah, although actually for Arba Kosot that does become a question. Okay, then we had the Pesach two answers. What were the two answers in Tosfot? First answer, Afein's great, but it only works rabbinically. And the other answer makes you the right to Chayef. Second answer, from Rabbi Yosef, Quincy, Ish Yushalayim, and that doesn't mean he visited for 3 days, okay? Rabbi Yosef, Ish Yushalayim says, Afein would have worked even Doraita, but, right, but we were nervous about the Sukkah parallel, so we needed some extra help. But that's interesting, because that would say Afein has a lot of power. Okay, finally, we had Rekib Eger, which again, I am less interested in terms of the women's issue. Just what Eger says, realize in life, there are not only Doraitas and Derabbanans. Mitzvot that are mentioned in Nath are some middle category, which is lesser than a Doraita, but more than a Derabbanan. All right, everybody should have a wonderful Shabbat and a Purim Sameach.